Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, June 16th, the year of our Lord, 2024. And this is the fourth Sunday after Pentecost. And it also happens to be Father's Day. And so to all you fathers out there, a very blessed and happy Father's Day. And to all you sons and daughters out there, blessings be upon you. Let's celebrate together this fourth Sunday after Pentecost, this Father's Day, this day that the Lord has made. Let's do what has become our custom and practice here. Some of you are familiar, some of you are brand new. It's such a joy to welcome you here to the podcast. But we always begin by doing just that, by breathing, taking in the gift of life, the breath of life. And then thanking God for every good and perfect gift that comes from the hand of God. Maybe stretch out your arms as wide as they'll go and open your fingers wide. Continue to breathe. Maybe turn your face toward the sky. Call to mind these good gifts, these moments of blessing, the people and the places, the opportunities that light you up inside. And in this spirit, in this posture, let's begin together in worship. Please join with me in the opening prayer as printed in your digital bulletin. You can find that bulletin just to the left of where you found today's podcast. There's a little icon there under sermon notes. Just tap on that and the bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. Your hand is upon your people, O God, to guide and protect them through the ages. Keep in your service those you have called and anointed, that the powers of this world may not overwhelm us, but that, secure in your love, we may carry out your will in the face of all adversity. Amen. Our gospel reading today comes from Mark's gospel in the fourth chapter, verses 26 through 34. He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of the seeds on earth. Yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray. We give you thanks for the gift of your word alive and among us. We pray, dear God, plant this word deep within our hearts, that it may find good soil within us, that it could sprout and grow, so that this word would grow in us, bless us, and we would in turn bless the world around us. Help us to hear what it is you have to say to us, to receive this word, O God. Save us from misinterpretation and distraction. Help us to truly hear this word. We ask all of this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Well, friends, here we find ourselves in the fourth chapter of Mark's Gospel, and Jesus is once again surrounded by a crowd of people, leaning in and listening, wanting to touch him and to hear him. The crowd is so great that he's just gone offshore a little bit onto a boat. The shoreline is crowded, and he is teaching. And in this little snapshot we get today, he is trying to help those gathered there understand something of the kingdom of God. And I believe also about who he is and why he's come. And he uses this teaching method that he uses a great deal. We hear about it in the 33rd verse. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them. And then I think here's what's on us. He spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. I think it's important for us to understand as we hear these parables that we have different abilities to hear it. I often pray that God would save us from distraction and misinterpretation, because that's part of being human, is that we have so many things that want our attention, that it can limit our ability to hear what God is saying to us. And so these parables are both simple and very deep and profound. We just jump right in here. If we go back to the top, verse 26, as he makes this first illustration, the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, and he does not know how. Now, if we just read that on the surface, if we don't engage in what a parable asks us to engage, which is to ask questions and think, the story is this. Once there was a man who threw seeds in the dirt, forgot about them, and they grew. Okay. But Jesus is telling us at the beginning that the kingdom of God is like this. So the parable, the exercise, pulls us in and asks us to look at element by element what's happening here. There is a sower, and there is seed, and there is an action that takes place in the seeds land, and that for one reason or another, the seeds are just not thought about. Again, the person goes on about their daily business. But then these seeds grow. And one day, the person who threw the seeds in the ground notices that they've grown, and hey, there's grain there for me to eat. All of this, Jesus wants us to understand, has something to do with the kingdom of God. Well, if these seeds, as we learned a little bit earlier in chapter 4, go back and read that, if you will, from verse 1, that these seeds are the word of God, and that the word of God will produce, especially if those seeds land in soil that will sustain life. They produce. Doesn't matter how much effort we put in. The kingdom of God is not about us and our effort. The kingdom of God sprouts up around us until one day, hopefully, we notice it and we can take from it and be blessed by it. That's one way, he says, to look at the kingdom of God. But let's look at some other ways that we might notice the kingdom of God around us and what it is like. With what can we compare the kingdom of God, he says? What parable will we use for it? It's like a mustard seed, again, with seed, that's sown upon the ground. And we could read this in a just boring, kind of irreverent reading of this. It's like these teeny seeds that you throw into the ground and they grow big plants. And the cool thing about the plants is that the birds like them. But Jesus is saying right at the beginning, pay attention to what I'm saying, because you'll see if you have ears to hear, if you'll take a moment, that the kingdom of God is like this, like a tiny seed that you might look at and go, that's a silly little seed. What can come of that? And it's thrown into the ground. And from that little seed, something mighty and beautiful grows. And it doesn't just grow for its own benefit. It's a blessing to the created order, to the birds that need shelter and need a place to raise their young. The kingdom of God is like that. That's the beauty of parable. Pause for a moment. Look at all the characters in the story. See how they interact. Test your own hypotheses and see where you draw conclusions, and then look at the life of Jesus. Look at the Gospels. Do all these things connect? Do they make sense together? Then you're probably on the right track. Very rarely is there just a quick and easy interpretation of any of these parables. One of the joys that I've experienced this week in considering this passage in Mark is at how it has caused me, and I pray you in turn, to think in parable. I've kind of, in the process of living out a parable, it's a parable that's being written right now in my backyard. And because of the seeds and the plants, I call this the parable of my backyard garden. There was a man, well, that would be me, and my daughter, who decided to grow a vegetable garden in their backyard this year. And so we did our research. We learned about what kind of composition the soil should be. And we found a good source for seeds and did a little research about what kind of plants may or may not grow here. With all that in mind, we started some seeds in these little peat pots that grow and planted those in the garden and waited. And, well, the crop report so far, it is not a bumper crop at the Coil House this year. As a matter of fact, the green beans, I think of the 10 green bean plants we put in this raised bed, I think we have 4 beans so far. The cucumbers, they're a goner. Maybe we'll get some zucchini. The snow peas, I think they're on their last legs. I put some tomato plants in these big pots. Jury's out on those, although I think the bugs might get to them. What am I learning? Well, hopefully I'm learning that maybe next time we garden, we might put the beds in a different position. We're learning maybe about water and shade and how to garden. But am I learning anything as someone who's also at the same time trying to be a student of God's word? Can I see the kingdom of God in my garden? Are there illustrations there? Sure. Because of the other things that we're learning about how to be a better gardener, I think my daughter and I are learning patience. We're learning that sometimes the best laid plans, the best planted plants, sometimes, not that we needed this, but it's a reminder that things just don't go the way you plan sometimes. I think of some of the farmers I knew back in Michigan. They'd been farming for years. They knew exactly what to do. And you can invest all the money and put the seeds in the ground. But at some point, like the person in the first illustration, you just don't know how. You just don't know if the crop is going to come up. You have to trust that the variables will come into play in your favor, and the crop will grow. And all the while, you have to trust, and some of the most faithful people I've ever met in my life are farmers, because they are humble, and they realize just that, that there are things that are out of our control. And that, too, I believe is evidence of the kingdom of God, that there are other things growing in our backyard garden, or, well, in this case, not growing. But it's been a way for me to get even closer with my daughter. It's been a way for me also to look at the invasive species in the backyard, the tongue oil tree, the trees, I should say, the thorny locust, these vines that crawl up into my trees and make a mess and choke out the trees if you don't cut them back, and you're always working against them. They don't seem to represent the kingdom of God to me. They seem to exist only for themselves. And maybe I just need to learn more about them. Because then I also know of things that are called weeds, especially when I was in the Midwest. There's the dandelion. And I still like to keep a tidy lawn, a nice green, well-cut lawn. But these dandelions come, and they sprout up all over. But really, if we were smart, we wouldn't grow lawns, we'd grow dandelion fields. Because dandelions are nutritious and medicinal. But that's maybe a parable for another day. I digress. Jesus is trying to teach this crowd about the kingdom of God. And he doesn't use illustrations about some mythical, mystical vapor somewhere else, way out there. He uses real world examples from their very lives and says the kingdom of God is a lot like that. And it's here. It sprouts forth from the earth. It's organic. You can't manufacture it, and you really can't control it. It sprouts up, and sometimes it does so in unexpected places. And you'll know it by its fruit. You'll know it by its value to other members of the created order. And perhaps for them, and I pray for us, the more we get drawn into what he was teaching them and what has been passed along to us. The kingdom of God comes in humble, in small places, and sometimes unexpected places. And we can't so much make it come as we can make way for it to come. That these fields and the soil that we till, as he comes and continues to teach us, is our own lives and our own hearts and our own spirits. That we should be as humble and as grateful as we possibly can be. A broken spirit and a contrite heart. God can work with these things that even then, still maybe the harvest won't come in the way that we would expect. But in a community, we might find shelter in somebody else's garden. We might find sustenance in the charity and compassion of somebody else. And so when seasons changed and our garden is flourishing and they have need, the kingdom of God is like that. It's not somewhere else. It might be sprouting up all around you. When you walk in your backyard or out in the park, look at the plants and birds and trees and animals, not just for what they are, but for evidence of God. Signs that the kingdom of God is sprouting up. I think one of the great illustrations is that is the weed, or the thing we call the weed, the grass, or the tree that's breaking through the sidewalk or the pavement. Such is the kingdom of God. It's growing all around us. And ours is to pay attention and to notice and to be humble enough to know that we really don't know how. We just know that it is. And we know that it's in its fullest in Christ and in the presence of God with us right here and right now. And it is profoundly good, good news, to which I say, Amen. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray. We ask your presence here with us. You, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of the prophets and disciples, God of Mary and Martha and Elizabeth. It is to you we pray. We are humbled and we are grateful. And we confess, O God, that we sin and we fall short and we get it wrong and we are distracted. We're afraid. Sometimes we just want to run and hide. But in this moment, dear God, we raise our hands and we say, here we are. Lord, hear us, forgive us, pick us up, dust us off, lead us home. And we look at the world around us, oh God, and while we find great joy, and we give you thanks for the beauty and the goodness that is everywhere, we also struggle to understand the violence and the hunger and the sickness and the despair. Lord, pour out your healing mercies on it all. Reveal yourself, we pray, to the people who find themselves in positions of power and influence. Show them the way. Show them grace and peace. Reveal to them the responsibility they have. And you know us, God. You know our stuff. I mean, there are the great things that we give you thanks for, our families and the best parts of our lives and the things that maybe we're anticipating, special events and promotions and opportunities. But there's also this other stuff too, the things that maybe we're ashamed of, the things, the habits that we can't break, the hurts that we can't seem to mend. You know it. Often we pray over it or we pace the floor in the middle of the night thinking about it. So we take this moment, we celebrate the gift of this moment in your presence, and we share these lists with you, O God. Please consider them. Pour out your blessings on all of it. Help us to participate in the things that we need to participate in. But we share these prayer lists with you, God, and we realize that maybe the most important thing we can do right now is to simply be quiet and to listen for your voice. We break our silence. We thank you, O God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. Help us to celebrate peace and quiet every day. And thank you, God, for the generations of faithful men and women that have saved for us our prayers and our scriptures and our songs and our traditions and our sacraments. And help us to join with all generations as we celebrate a prayer that you taught your first students. Hear us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So, my dear friends, as we prepare to move on from this moment together, as we prepare to go our separate ways, let us do so with a heightened awareness of the kingdom of God with us, our God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who again is with us. And bids us peace. Go in peace. Amen.